What a pleasure tonight to take the Word of God, to indeed to look at the bread of life, Jesus Christ, as He declared in John the 6th chapter, that we may open the bread of life tonight, that we may feed from the Word of God. We also note that all of God's Word, inspired of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So as we feed, we were able to grow tonight. And let us feed tonight from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the first four verses. We want to consider 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. As you turn there, appreciate Brother Justin's kind words and Trent's prayer. Brother Reed's singing tonight as we would sing together. It is good to be back among congregations and start seeing some full auditoriums. I'm going to tell you, it feels good. Feels good to see in many places rope is being put away. And I never had that problem. When I'd go to a place, I'd go to one place and it'd be roped off. Go to another place, there'd be X's on the pew. Don't sit there. Go to another place, there are X's on the pew. No, you can sit there. So I just started going to the front row. Preachers have been practicing social distancing, sitting on the front row for years. So I just went to the front row, didn't have to worry about it. But I'll tell you, good brothers, it was a challenge, was it not? You know, for all the years when I'd walk in a church building, I'd look for four things. A footstool, a pillow, a throw, or a quilt. If I saw one of the four, I just kept on walking. That's how I wound up on the front row. And so now we are getting back to where things get to be a sense of normalcy. But I have to be honest. I hope we rise above normalcy. I want us to be better with everything we have been challenged with in the past year. This weekend, as we talk about homecoming, we're going to be doing more of that on the Lord's Day. But tonight I want us to consider a lesson that will revive us, a lesson that I believe will help us as we strive to serve our Lord and getting back in the flow of things. To the church in Thessalonica, we begin. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, or Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks always, or give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. May the Lord bless us with the reading and the hearing and the application of His Word. Would you consider with me from verse 4 the phrase, brethren, beloved. Brethren, a word that on the average here is found once every six verses. Paul is constantly reminding them of their relationship with one another and the Father and how they are a family. They are brethren. Then he calls them beloved. It emphasizes brethren. It emphasizes what has been bestowed upon us as brethren, what remains and the strength therein. It will be there upon you, as Paul said, with you and the Father. Not only are you my brothers in Christ, my sisters in Christ, not only are you brethren, but you are brethren beloved, because it grows and has so much good of that. And then in verse 4, he says, your election of God, chosen of God, the elect of God. We note, for example, in 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, individuals who are to make their calling and election sure. And in 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, individuals having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Dear friends, when we see this text, I want us to consider tonight the past 12 months and what all we have endured, what all we have dealt with. And now we're beginning to see some daylight at the end of the tunnel. We want to be better. We want to be encouraged. But I want to tell you, folks, the church needs reviving. We need to be revived. We need to be reminded of what God has bestowed upon us. We need to enhance that relationship as brethren beloved to be with one another. I'm going to tell you, folks, the day is going to come where my fist bumping is not going to be the brotherhood greeting. The day is going to come that you brethren are going to dread seeing me coming. You mean they booked Archie for a meeting? I'm not going. Because he wants to hug everybody. He wants to shake every hand twice. And he's going to be there. I'm not going to come. Because brethren, that day is going to come. Brethren are going to dread seeing me come. Because I miss the good handshakes, the hugs, the encouragement. And as we think about those days, we think about how we are getting back to where we need to be. Beloved, tonight, I want us to think about one more phrase, and it's going to serve as our launching point to where the Apostle Paul said in verse 3, in the sight of God our Father. Four things tonight. First of all, in the sight of God, let our prayers be continual. We have prayed fervently. We have prayed fervently with all of the things that have gone on. We have noticed sick list longer, shut-in list increasing. We have noticed a lot of things that we have prayed for in the past year. Dear friend, let our prayer life be continual. Paul begins this wonderful letter when he speaks of praying in chapter 1 and verse 2. And then when you go to chapter 5 and verse 17, he says, pray without ceasing. He is prayerfully thankful for this congregation. He begins his letter with prayer and he continues it in prayer. He's prayerfully thankful because of one trait they have. They are in Christ, the church that is in God the Father, verse 1, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is one and the same. In John 14 and verse 1, Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Consider 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. My friends, to be in Christ Jesus, New Testament mentions that phrase 86 times. And every time you find we're in Christ, we are in His church. What a beautiful thought as brethren beloved. I want you to notice that Paul is prayerfully thankful for them as laborers one to another. That they are laboring, they are helping one another, they are encouraging one another. And for the Thessalonians in this day and age, like many in the New Testament, that was a challenge. You had Gentiles who turned to God from living for idols, and they were learning a whole new way of life, serving the living God. You had the Jews who had turned to Christ, who had embraced the law, and they were learning a whole new way of life. And then when you take both individual, both groups learning a whole new way of life in Christ, they're also learning how to get along with each other, which they did not before. Were they able to do it? Without a doubt. Yes, they did. Read the book of Ephesians. Read here. They were able to because the Jew was focused on Christ. The Gentile was focused on Christ. Both were focused on Christ. And when the church is focused on her Christ, there's no limit to what can be done. Let's also consider, thirdly, that he is thankful for their power of prayer. He's thankful because of prayer itself. Of prayer itself, to remember fellow Christians, as he said, we do not cease to pray for you. And oh, dear friends, how we can indeed grow in prayer. Did not our Lord say in Luke 11 and verse 1, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. I can remember learning how to pray as a boy in the church. I listened to those dear men that would stand and lead prayers in such reverence. Felt like many times they'd take you by the hand and put you right at the throne of God. They loved their Lord and they loved to pray to Him. In Luke 18 verse 1, Jesus taught a parable there that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't ever give up. We need to keep praying. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing or don't be worrisome, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Dear friends, the Apostle Paul is prayerfully thankful, and let our prayers continue, because he simply brings forth the power of prayer. How we ourselves are to be thankful daily. For example, if you note Mark 8 and verse 6, how Jesus raised his eyes, gave thanks for the food before him. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 11, to give thanks for the bountiful blessings that come from our Father. To give, be thankful, as we noted moments ago, for one another in prayer, not only here in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2, but even in Ephesians 1 and verse 16. Dear friends, when we look at Paul's prayer and in the sight of God, using Paul as a pattern for the church here in Thessalonica, let us ourselves continue in prayer. Let's continue to pray. Let's pray for our nation, 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Let's pray one for another, as we noticed moments ago. In verse 3, there were many things that Paul was thankful for with this church. It is some kind of congregation here at Thessalonica who had a light that would go into all the world, and that is our challenge, to be lights in the world, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. In the sight of God, let us be prayerful people. Let us spend time in prayer. Justin was very kind to mention of the work of International Gospel Hour. And when you say up to millions, listen, it's a humbling experience. I will tell you, folks, I cannot sit down behind a microphone and start recording until I pray about what I am going to say, because I know not who may be listening. It is amazing when you take a look at those who listen. A dear lady requested a study in the Bronx, New York. We're not on in that part of New York. We're up in the northern part, Troy, Schenectady, getting over into Vermont and in western Massachusetts, but we're not in the Bronx. She listened to us through the podcast option we have on Amazon Music. You never know the potential of where the gospel will go. And I remember spending time in prayer each time to sit down, Lord, let these messages go to those that need it. Let people open their hearts and let us have a revival in this nation and in this world. Beloved, we need to bathe our works in our congregation in prayer. The other night, my mother, who suffered a fall and who is currently in rehab, and she is doing fairly well. She says she's doing all right. But you know, when you're nearly 89 years old, all right can be interpreted in a lot of ways. Bless her heart, she was having a time, and I was sharing this with one of the elders at the West Fayetteville congregation that oversees our work. Two nights later, the phone rang, and I looked down, and I have all the elders on my phone. That way I know whether to answer or not. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. If they're watching, I'm kidding. And so anyway, I have elders all through my phone, congregations that support our work and all. And the phone rang and I answered the phone. And it was Brother Massey, one of our elders. He said, Brother Archie, I've got Brother Todd here and I've got Brother Jefferson here. We called to pray with you and for you and for your mom. Now let me tell you something, folks. When you have elders that call you of a work that you're working with them, and they call you and say, we want to pray with you, it gives a strength to a preacher unlike anything you can ever imagine. For the elders in this audience tonight, pick up your phone and pray. Pick up the phone and pray with the preacher. Help him be a better man. Folks, never underestimate the power of prayer in the sight of God. We've been praying in the past year. As the church revives itself, let's continue to pray. Now we come to verse 3. Verse 3 has the next three points. They're right there. Any preacher in his time in preaching has probably dealt with these same three points, but they're so powerful. In the sight of God, allow our faith to be working. Yes, dear friends, in the past year, how we have seen such creativity. I guess one of the best examples I saw was one of those little memes. You know, it has a picture and words at the top and at the bottom. And I think the best one I saw was Tom Hanks as the Forrest Gump character with that somewhat puzzled look. And at the top it said, "And just like that." And at the bottom it said, "We all became televangelists." A lot of truth in that, friends. There were a lot of preachers that went on Facebook Live, YouTube, anything you could imagine that you could have not gotten in front of a camera at GBN. Simple fear. They overcame it. Reached out to their congregations, and people who normally would not even come into a building, they were able to tune in and listen. I remember my wife and I, one evening, we had traveled and all, and one evening we turned into Justin's Live at 5. Wonderful study with you. And folks, we looked for avenues. There were more congregations that put more time into video work, into audio work. As a matter of fact, it was about that time we were going to move all of our programming of International Gospel Hour through podcast platforms to give options, and we unveiled it at that time. Had a radio general manager in Western Kentucky tell me that they noted that their listening audience increased when people were sheltering in place. When people are struggling and when hurt is happening, they're going to look for God. And if they're going to look for God, look to the church. And let people know, this is where we found our faith is working, and it needs to keep working. When I see this phrase, work of faith, immediately coming to mind is James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20. Drop down to verse 26. James is not talking about faith and works. James is talking about a faith that works. He says, show your faith by your action, by your works. And that is seen clearly in the life of Noah. Hebrews 11 and verse 7, speaking of Noah's faith, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, warned of God, and by faith, what did he do? Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Noah, he was warned. By faith, Noah, he moved. By faith, Noah, he prepared. When one is saved by faith today, they are warned of God. They are moved to obedience. They prepare themselves for eternity. Galatians 5 and verse 6, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but I love this phrase, but faith which works by love. A work of faith, a loving faith. And the Bible lists a number of various works. Why, it's interesting, you see works of the flesh, Galatians 5, 19 through 21, works of the devil, 1 John 3 and verse 8. So why would brethren find it strange, or the religious world, that there is such a thing as a work of faith? All of our efforts should be works of faith. Putting forth the strength to do what is needed for the cause of Christ. Dear friends, do we allow our works to be works of faith? Someone says we can't do that. Someone says we can do that. And if there's anything that came out of that pandemic last year, where through pandemic, God will bring forth his promises, through a virus he can bring victory, brethren began to seek out other ways to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was several months ago. I had a cancellation. Went over and spoke at Rockcliffe where Bill labors. And when I pulled up, and at the time, Bill, you were in the parking lot. And I wasn't trying to be funny, but I asked Bill, where should I park? I wanted to save the prime spots for the paying customers. The way I used to be in the grocery business, park way off, let the paying customers park. I work there, park down yonder. And so I asked Bill, I said, Bill, where I park? He said, you can park by me Well, I pulled in front of the cemetery, and I did tonight. Folks, if I ever go to a congregation where there is a cemetery, I will park facing the cemetery. Here's why. If the Lord comes back while I'm preaching, I'm heading to a window. I want a front row seat, because that tells me this old world's ending and eternity is beginning. But I can remember a simple transmitter so people could tune in and come together to worship but still be safe. Folks, we found through the pandemic more opportunities open up. And now that we're coming back, now that we're seeing brethren, and we're starting to get back to what we used to, we don't need to let up. Because I can tell you, Satan is not letting up. And we need to make certain that in the sight of God, not only let our prayers continue, but let our faith be working. Here's the next one. It's right there in the verse. In the sight of God, allow our labors to be loving. That means a passion in labor. Now, I want you to look at that word labor. Now, we see work of faith and labor of love. Work, labor. You get a strong idea with labor that that is a commitment, a greater commitment from the work. The word itself has an intense meaning. When you get down into the root, it literally means to beat the bread. Now think about that for a moment. You've ever watched anybody make bread or biscuits or sweet rolls? You see the persistent rolling of dough, turning, pressing, rolling over and over till it's just right. That's the idea of the labor of love. We keep working with it and working with it and blending it till it mixes properly and gets it just right. It's a passion that we have. Any effort in the church requires hard work. Congregations will not grow unless the work, the labor gets done. And when there are congregations of churches of Christ laboring for the cause of Christ, you'll see work, you'll see work ethic increase, you'll see growth happen. In Acts 13 and verse 2, we know that there was work in preaching the gospel. They had to go. Work can be fruitful work. Colossians 1 and verse 10. And we must be zealous with our works for the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 2 and verse 14. It takes that work of faith and it shifts it to a labor of love, a passion. And we labor, we keep working it and working it and working it until we're able to accomplish what the Lord would have us to do. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, you be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, works of faith and labor of love, it takes the work up one more notch. There's that determination. There is that joy. There is that growth that is moving onward. And dear friends, in the sight of God, let Him see us passionate in our labors and what we are about. Number four, stay right there in the verse. We're about to wrap up because he says about their patience of hope in the sight of God. Allow our hope to endure. Don't know who said this. Love the quote. It says, when fixed on God, hope embraces expectation, trust, and patient waiting. Hebrews 6 and verse 19, the hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Love that thought. That hope that keeps us stable, that hope that keeps us strong. Now, when we talk about patience, folks, we're talking about an active endurance we're going to hold up under. Romans 5 verses 3 and 4 puts it this way. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations, in other words, there could be afflictions or sufferings, produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. You know, folks, it's very hard for me to read verse 3, glory in tribulations, or sufferings, or troubles. It's hard for me to glory when I'm hurting. It's hard for me to glory in a suffering. But let me ask you something. When you suffer, to whom do you turn to even more? That takes us back to the first point, doesn't it? To let our prayer be continued. He was in the garden, one believed on a warm night, had three of his followers kept falling asleep. Jesus prayed that that cup would pass from him. The cup did not pass, but God provided him what he needed, that angel that strengthened him. And Christ knew what he was here to do. We don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh is, and it really doesn't matter. Paul believed if it would have been taken away from him, he could have done more, but God said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul changed his attitude. Dear friends, may I submit to you, sometimes we may need to change our attitudes when it comes to suffering. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to hurt. Nobody wants to get sick. I'll tell you something I never saw last year. I did not see it in a Facebook quote. I did not see it on Instagram. I did not see it on Twitter. I did not even see it on the local news or the local newspaper or the Twitter feed or whatever, the Google feed or whatever. I never found one person that said, man, I woke up and had a great day and I got COVID, and I'm so thankful I did. Folks, let me tell you, COVID paid us a visit over in our house. They said I had the mild to moderate strain. That's mild to moderate, folks. I don't want full throttle. I just don't wake up of a morning, look out the door. This is the day the Lord hath made. I think I'll get sick. I think I'll suffer. It doesn't work that way. But when it comes, folks, the more we look at hope, and the more we look at endurance, God says, I will help hold you up. And we find ourselves with a renewed hope. Hope is that beautiful thought of desire plus expectation. Paul said in Romans 8:24, we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, watch it now, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. You know, have you ever had what I call your aha moments? Have you ever read a scripture or read something over and over, and then all of a sudden that aha moment hits you, and y'all know what I'm talking about? I've read that 100 times and I never what? Never noticed it. Flip back in your Bibles to Romans 12. Can I share with you, in light of our enduring hope, at Romans 12, verse 12, that aha moment? I love aha moments in my studies. I do. I come across something, aha, I didn't know that was there. And then I have to be careful. Renita, my beloved bride, would say that I'm above my raisin, but I know too much. Romans 12 and verse 12, I want you to look at that verse with me that says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, troubles, trials, suffering, continuing instant in prayer. Now, if your Bible is laid out like mine, that one verse has three phrases in that verse. Go to the middle. Patient in tribulation. Which means we need to endure what we're facing. It's there, and you've got to work with it. I'm sorry, but the tests have come back and you have cancer. Now, folks, that's a trouble. That's a tribulation. I dare say in this audience, you may have heard that. It's right there. It's right there with us. I'm sorry, but your loved one has COVID and it does not look good. When we're right there, notice we're right there in the middle, and there is that trouble. Satan wants to take my trouble. And it's his fault. I've got it to start with because of the sin in the garden. Satan wants to take my trouble. He wants to take my hurt. And he will take that and use that to turn me against my God, your Father. Turn me against my brethren. And I'm right there in the middle. Now, look at that verse. When I go to the left with that trouble, I'm going to rejoice in hope. Whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now I'm not in the middle with my trouble. I still got the trouble. I still got the suffering. And I'm a child of God. I can rejoice in hope. I'm going to go over this way. Stay in verse 12. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm going to continue instant. I'm going to stay with it. In prayer. I got my trouble and it's in the middle. But I'm going to sandwich it with continued prayer. And I'm going to sandwich it with hope. And the way I look at it, hope and prayer tackles the trouble in the middle. And God says keep praying. And God says keep hoping. Now, I may not overcome that suffering in this life. But if we walk with our hope in God and we continue instant in prayer and have that enduring hope, it's not going to beat us in the next life. Folks, I'm standing before you tonight to tell you that is easier read and easier said than done. But all I know is this: if I trust in my Lord, I'm going to do it. You see, when we look at this text in the sight of God, we keep our prayers continual, our faith stronger, our works with passion, and then patience and hope, and we continue onward as these brethren did in the first century. And because of their continued prayers, their working faith, their passionate labors, and their enduring hope, we see why they were called the elect of God, the chosen of God. And you know, simply put, many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 22:14. Well, how are we called individuals? How can we become that elect? 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says, "Wherefore he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." When he calls us by his gospel and we answer, what a glorious thought. Glory to obtain in Christ. When you and I look at what is before us in the sight of God tonight, there is the invitation of Christ. The invitation that says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." He is able to revive me in my prayer life. He's able to revive me in my works of faith, my labor of love, my patience of hope. He has all that I need. I love to come to this point in every sermon. And the reason that I love to come to this point, I was speaking at a place recently,
And that beloved elder looked at me and said, Jeff, I need to say this to you. Be sure that you extend the plan of salvation in your lesson. And I looked at him and I said, my, you have to ask. And sad to say, some circumstances did. Dear friends, for a number of years I was in sales. You don't present your product without making your pitch. You don't present the goodness of something without appealing to individuals that this is exactly what we need. Again, we've had a challenging 12 months. Satan can work on us. Satan can take a concern and make it a fear to where sometimes it very well is possible that our assembling was less precaution and more forsaking. We're not here to question hearts. The hearts of man are before God. We're here to help us in the sight of God. To tonight to be more effective in prayer, stronger and renewed in our works, passionate in our labors, strengthened in our hope. Dear brother or dear sister, may I ask you, in the past few months, especially with so much going on, have you found yourself pulling further from God or drawing closer to Him? Have you struggled within your life of things of which you're trying to deal that Satan has used and pulled you from God? But you keep on trying, you keep on going. But you'll stand to sing an invitation song and you're thinking something's not right. I don't know of a better place tonight than to come among your brethren, beloved. And let us pray with you and pray for you. Now, if you do not attend here at Wood, but somewhere else, please don't delay. We're your brothers and sisters in Christ. And when you go back to your home congregation, meet with the elders and let them pray with you and let them know of your decision. We want to be the elect of God, the chosen of God. We're done. We're that way by calling the gospel of Christ, responding to that call. When we hear that gospel message, when we hear the things tonight of prayer and faith and work and obedience, then we're able, we believe in God. And I'm thankful for the word repentance that helps me change my direction in life. I don't have to keep living the way that I'm living. I can live for God. I can live in Christ. It's the beauty of repentance. And I can confess Christ as the Son of God, as that eunuch did in Acts 8:37, and be baptized tonight for the forgiveness of my sins, adding me to His church. And then, with obedience in the sight of God, I can begin a faithful walk in the sight of God. So in our assembly tonight, if you've had yet to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is your time. And if you need to respond to our Lord's invitation for whatever reason, would you come tonight as we stand and as we sing together?